So it's good to be here with you today. Glad to see all those folks that live with us this morning, especially our visitors. I'd like you back to be with us anytime you have the opportunity to do so. Last weekend down in Auburn, it's a revival down there. Some of you from here were there. Brother Donald Thompson used an example in his lesson about his dog. And he talked about the love and devotion that his dog had for him, his master. And I thought it was a very good example, and I'd like to use that today. But he talked about his dog. He said he could go all day long without feeding that dog. And he goes down there and feeds him. And he said sometime in the evenings he would feed him table scraps instead of dog food. And said he might have some leftover pork chops or meat or whatever, you know. And said, but that dog wouldn't eat until he went back into the house. And the dog wanted to get the attention of his master. And, you know, if we think about, you know, many dogs are that way. You know, they even though they're hungry, they're looking for that attention and approval of their master. So I got to thinking about that. But we're going to look at, we're going to talk about some things about the dog and the relationship with his master for a few moments, and then we'll go into some parallel things to do with our spiritual lives as well. But just as that dog seeks the attention and approval of his master, even over eating, even though he's hungry, he still seeks that attention of the master. And, you know, our dog's the same way. By the time we go out and feed him, our dog has to, he'll go get a stick or a ball or whatever. He'll just about go get it as long as you want to throw it. He'd rather do that. He'd rather play than eat. He'd rather seek that attention from the master. But also, as we think about dogs too, you know, when we first start training the dog, we think about trying to teach them obedience. Sometimes it's because they're wanting to avoid punishment, but most often it's because we're rewarding that dog. He does the trick we want him to do. He does the command or obedience that we command for him to do. He does it because we're going to reward him and because it's an instant reward too. But you know, a little later on, we may teach the dog to do something and he'll just do it. He just does it out of obedience. He does it out of, again, wanting to just please his master. He doesn't do it because he knows you've got a treat in your hand or something you're going to feed him. He does it just because he loves his master, just because he pleases, just because that's the way that it ought to be. And then also, in addition to the lesson that Brother Donald did, it was just a day or two later, I got this email. It was like a chain email someone had sent me. And I thought it went along this very well. And I'd like to read that to you now. It said, a sick man turned to his doctor as he was preparing to leave the examination room and said, doctor, I am afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side. Very quietly, the doctor said, I don't know. He said, you don't know? You are a Christian man. You do not know what is on the other side? The doctor was holding the handle of the door, and on the other side came the scratching and whining. As he opened the door, his dog sprang into the room. He leaped on him with an eager show of gladness. Turning to the patient, the doctor said, did you notice my dog? He'd never been in this room before. He didn't know what was on the inside. He knew nothing except that his master was there. And when the door opened, he sprang in without fear. I know little of what is on the other side of death, but I do know this one thing. I know my master is there, and that is enough. So with those thoughts in mind, as we think about it's as simple as a dog's life is and the relationship with the master, we're going to use some of those same points and look at a few scriptures this morning. And I guess we put a title to our lesson this morning, it would be Relationship with the Master. And think about our relationship with our Master being God and Jesus Christ. First, we'd like to look at attention and approval of the Master being sought. The first verse we'd like to look at is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul here speaking to Timothy. To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we know we've all heard this many, many times. But we usually hear this verse as we think about that we need to study more. And certainly we all need to study more than we have in the past and so forth. But also notice what it says in this verse, study to show thyself approved unto God. And just like as the dog wanted to please his master, you know, we should strive to serve God as well, to please our master. Do we do things so that we'll be approved unto God? And studying is one of those things. Of course, there's many things that we can do in our lives. But doing things, actions that we might do, it would be approving to God, that He would find approved in our lives. The next passage we'd like to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Again, it says Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth. He said, "We are confident, I say, and would rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your concern, your consciences." Notice what it says in verse 9 here. It says, "Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Again, talking about our service, our lives, the actions that we do each day in our lives, whether or not they're acceptable unto God. Whether He finds those, He would approve of those things that we do in our lives. So we as Christians should seek out the approval of our Master, which is in heaven. Next thing we'd like to look at is, as a Christian, initially we are obedient to the gospel. Maybe initially we may be for fear of harm or punishment. We may obey the gospel because we don't want to go to hell. And that's one reason why, but it's not the only reason why we should really be doing it, because of wanting to please God and do the things. But initially we may do that to avoid punishment, but also we may do it for the hope of a reward, of that being in heaven. So we'd like to look at a few passages now to talk about that hope of reward. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, or alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help, grace to help in time of need." But again, we're thinking about the being obedient for the immediate reward. We may do so because, like, again, we don't want to be lost eternally, but also we're thinking about that reward of why that we want to be obedient unto God. Also in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, this is the same thought here. We see Jesus speaking here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So again, Jesus talks about those that they might be persecuted or whatever, but they recognize and know that they're doing the right thing and they're doing that. It's thinking about that reward in heaven. One last passage we'd like to look at concerning the being obedient for the hope of an immediate reward is is in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So many times when we are obedient to, even to the gospel, we're doing so for, like I said, two different reasons. One reason why we don't want to go to hell, and the other reason why is because of the hope of heaven. If you know, just as we talked about with the dog doing the trick for the knowing that there's a reward there waiting, later on he'll do it just for the love of the master. And I think that's where we go in, as a Christian, as we grow as a Christian, as we become more mature, that we serve God then because we love God, not just so that we'll get to go to heaven. So we'd like to look at a few passages that have to do with that, of being obedient regardless of the hope of the reward. Look at Hebrews again in chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. Hebrews chapter 11, again with verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." So while it does talk about the reward here, Moses recognized that, you know, he could have a very pleasant life upon this earth. You know, as we know where the story goes, that, you know, his mother knew that he would be killed, and she put him in the basket boat there and put him there so that he would be found. And he was raised up in Pharaoh's house. And he could have been a very rich man. But, you know, he recognized that God had things for him to do in this life. And, you know, Moses faced a lot of suffering and persecutions in this life, and a hard life. But he chose that, as it talks about in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He did what was right because it was the right thing to do. And that showed that spiritual maturity that we need to have as Christians. Next, I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 6, again with verse 1. Again, Jesus here is teaching us a lesson here about praying or doing good for others in the sight of men. Matthew chapter 6, again with verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Likewise, you shall have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thy alms, if that may be done in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shuttest the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And be ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." So Jesus is telling us here, it shows maturity as a Christian to help other people, to pray for other people, but to do it because it's the right thing to do, but not that we would get our picture in a newspaper or someone would glorify us on the earth, but to do it in a quiet manner. Maybe even behind the scenes, so that it's not important that we get credit for that in this life, because God knows what the good things that we do for others is helping others or praying for them as well. And that shows the sign of a mature Christian, doing those things that are right just because that's the right thing to do. The next passage we have to look at is in Romans chapter 8, again with verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, "But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, thinking about here, about we need to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We're not worried about the other thing because nothing's going to separate us from the love of Christ except for us. We're the only thing that stands in between us and the love of Christ. So we talked about the same passage again last month. And again, we're looking at being obedient regardless of the hope of reward. But doing what's right no matter what we might suffer in this life. Next on this section, we'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. So again, here we need to do what is right because it's the right thing to be. And again, we have to have that goal of heaven in our lives, but we need to be doing the right thing. As it talks about here in verse 1, it says, you know, lay aside every weight and sin, things that might hold us back in our lives. We've got to lay those things aside, not to say, well, I got to do that to make it to heaven. But, you know, we've got to do that because that's the right thing to do. That's what we need to do as a Christian. And actually, what I look at, no fear, knowing the Master is waiting on the other side. And if we read these passages, we really ask the question within ourselves, are we prepared to meet Christ in judgment? Because we either are or we're not. And if we are, there'll be no fear there. But if we do have fear and anxiety and uncertainty in our lives, certainly now is the time to make those changes in our lives. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, begin with verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church of Corinth. Says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that for we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath brought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So we recognize as Christians that we have, as it talks about here in verse 1, that we have our earthly house of this tabernacle where it's dissolved, and with the bodies that we are living in here, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that we have a home beyond this home. And also in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, very simple statement here. It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. So we know that when God's time comes for us to leave this earth, that for Christians, that will be a time of rest from our labors here upon this earth. And also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. First Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has forgotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it talks about here in verse 4 that there should be no fear about what is on the other side as a Christian and living our lives as we should, that there is a, as it talks about here in verse 4, is that there is a place reserved in heaven for you and for me if we are faithful. And also in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Again, we're thinking about the thought of no fear knowing the Master is waiting on the other side. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Again, when God's time will come for us to depart this life, or when He comes back again, we know that we, as Christians, if we're faithful to Him, that we have a place prepared for us. Just as they talked about in this story here, that there'll be no fear of knowing what's on the other side, but not only that there is a place, but it's a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And whether or not we occupy that mansion in heaven is up to us, because there is a place there. And many times, we've talked about many times before, if you decide to go on vacation, if you don't do it by a certain time, they'll run out of room. There won't be a place there, but that's not the way heaven's going to be. There is a place in heaven prepared for us. It's just whether or not we are faithful as Christians to occupy that. One last passage we'd like to look at is in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. First John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We talk about here in verse 17 about having boldness in the day of judgment. And how can we have boldness in the day of judgment except to know as an obedient Christian that we have done the things that we should? That we'd have faith, just as this dog is, that the Master is waiting on the other side, and that also that the Master will be approved to us when we enter into that other side. And we need to think about these things in our lives to make sure that we're doing the things that we find approval of the Master, that we are gone beyond, if we're not become a Christian, that we need to be obedient to the gospel. And even initially, if it's just because we don't want to go to hell and that we do want to go to heaven, but even as we mature as Christians, that we go beyond that, that we do what's right just because it's right. Not because I think, well, I'm going to get to go to heaven if I do this. We do what is right because we love the truth and we want to do what's right. And having no fear, knowing the Master is waiting on the other side, because we're in one of two conditions this morning. Either we have that hope within us to know that when our time comes to leave this earth, or Jesus comes again, that there'll be no fear, and we'll have boldness in the day of judgment, or we'll have a troubled heart. And we'll know that the changes need to be made in our life. But when that time comes, there'll be no time for change. So is any here today that never rendered obedience to the gospel by hearing the word, by believing it, having faith that it's true, to willing to repent of every sin, confess publicly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins? If we can do that today, if you so desire, if you've done those things and you've not lived as you should, then we would not have that boldness and be ready to meet Him in judgment. We can assist you to pray with you and for you. you stand in need of the church's services anyway, we ask you to come while we stand. While we stand, let's lift your hands.
I do you wait.